Welcome to You Speaks Out, a show featuring the voices of young people in Mendocino County. I am the producer of this program, Dan Roberts. I maintain a website of easily listened to past episodes of You Speaks Out. There are scores of shows to stream or download at our website, youthspeaksout.net. Check it out. When school was in the classroom, it was much easier to create these shows. It was, for the most part, a monthly show for over 20 years. This project is supported by Laytonville Healthy Start with Jameis Shields Spence. The guests today are Karuna and Natalia, recent graduates of Laytonville High School, now attending college online. These conversations were recorded online. I asked Karuna and Natalia to think about Women's History Month and talk about inequality, gender roles, the Trump effect, and if education was improving the situation women face in our society, and to name a few women who inspired them. We will begin with Karuna. Hi, Karuna Gillespie, former Laytonville High School student who's been on You Speaks Out many times and was a leader at the school and is now doing online college.
I'm actually on spring break this week, which is awesome. But yeah, I'm in school right now online. It's going pretty good. I feel like for some reason the second semester I'm starting to notice more issues with like the teacher-student communication online. I feel like I'm watching some teachers struggle to get their ideas across and make sure the students actually understand. And I think for some reason students are more afraid to say that they don't still understand something online, I think. They don't want to like take up class time. And
okay, so what classes are you taking?
So right now I'm taking Intro to Psychology. I'm taking a freshman humanities course called Nature and Society.
Ooh, that sounds good.
That one's my favorite. I'm taking a Calculus 1, my first calculus class. And I'm taking a Intro to Public Administration. It's a government class.
This is Women's History Month, and so I wanted to do a show that kind of got younger women's opinion on things about women. So, for example, what do you think of Women's History Month?
I think there are pros and cons. I think it definitely serves some aspect of bringing awareness to the history of women, but also I think deciding to celebrate women's history in one month, I don't know, doesn't quite do it. I think instead of having a Women's History Month, it should just be women's history all the time.
Yeah, I feel like every holiday thing that gets created becomes a commercial opportunity so that they can make Hallmark cards about it.
And,
you know, that there's special women's candy 100%. Or whatever, you know, it's like there's commercial thing.
Setting aside a time to focus on it and really talk about it and teach people about it, seems like a positive thing.
Have you thought about three women who inspire you?
Yeah, took a while. I feel like, so one woman who really inspires me is Starhawk. You probably know Starhawk. She's activist, writer, environmentalist, and she's also sort of like kind of the founder of the modern goddess religion movement. And my mom used to read some of her like childhood, like children's stories when I was younger. And I read one of her books a little while ago, The Fifth Sacred Thing, which I absolutely loved. So she's definitely someone who really inspires me. Second one, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I think she, beyond everything that she's physically changed for us. I think just being someone that young women in government can look up to and see that the fight isn't hopeless and that there are people who are already fighting for the things that we want to fight for. And I say that as a young woman wanting to go into government, that it's amazing to see her do her thing. The third one took me longer, but really my mom is my third one. I feel like a lot of people say that when they ask that woman who inspires them, but she, not only is she my mom, but she is like the most compassionate and giving and caring person, and completely self-sacrifices her time and enjoyment to make sure that other people feel safe and are happy. And that's like, I work to get to where I can be that self-sick.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Another good choice. Very good choice. Have you had experiences of being treated unequally because you were a woman?
I mean, yes. I'm lucky that I was raised and surrounded by people who haven't treated me differently but I've definitely experienced moments like that. A lot of the moments when it's treated unfairly come from, me and Natalia recently talked about a little while ago actually, was that we noticed that when we are walking around in public by ourselves, me and her and another friend or something, that we get a lot more look from men than if there is a boy with us. If we have one of our guy friends hanging out with us, no one looks at us at all. And sort of this realization that to feel safe, we feel like we have to have a guy around to feel safe. And I hate having to feel like that. That feels unfair. That's something that recently I was thinking about again. So it's just been on my mind, but.
Yeah, that sounds pretty unfair. How about in schooling or jobs, or has there been any experiences you've had there like that?
Yeah. In school, definitely. A couple things. One was, me and I noticed, was the dress code. Such intense focus on girls' dress code and such a lack of attention to what guys wear. Sort of like, I remember being at soccer practice and the boys were taking the shirts off and we wanted to take our shirts off and wear our sports bras, and they were like, no. And that was like one of the first times, I think I was like a sophomore or something, and I was like, what do you mean? Like, why are we not even taking our sports bra? But general, I feel like in sports a lot from other high schoolers too. I played on co-ed soccer team for a couple years in high school, so definitely a lot of like automatic, not only in the game, like we would passes, we were usually like the last people to be picked for stuff, but also by like other coaches and like the way that people would assume, because we were one of the only teams that had boys and girls, and how people assumed that we were worse or that we sucked because we had girls in our team.
So how do you think equality in those situations could be brought about? I mean, how, you know, the whole thing of having to have a guy to not attract attention, having a guy with you so that you don't attract attention from others. I mean, is that something that could be changed by your actions, or does it require the whole society consciousness to change? Or what do you think about that?
I think to get equality, gender, we definitely need an entire shifting of our societal consciousness. I think there's decades and decades and centuries, maybe, of layers and layers and conditioning conditioning that has been done to enforce these misogynistic and sexist mindsets. And to really achieve equality, we have to be able to dismantle those mindsets when we're thinking about not only other people, but also ourselves. I've been thinking about how we always talk about when achieving equality that we need to fix this like misogynistic system and social and society aspects. But I think a big part of it is getting to the point where people can reflect on themselves, especially women, and not look at themselves through a misogynistic gaze, and to the point where we can really dismantle all of the conditioning that's been done to us.
What can schools do specifically to encourage equality?
Yeah, this one I thought about for a while, and it was really hard. When it comes down to schools specifically, it's hard for them to do much about the inherent sexist systems that are in place. But I think just reflecting on back on the moments that I felt like my school was trying to promote gender equality, I just felt like when teachers would not stereotype or assume things, a lot of my interactions with staff-wise, like they interaction with staff, most times they would somewhat assume things based on your gender. Mostly because they grew up in a different generation and they're a little older, but just naturally assuming things, and that takes a lot of work. It's not something that schools can do specifically. And then also monitoring the kind of harassment that is put onto girls by boys in high school, and by a lot of the verbal and somehow physical, but mostly verbal attacks on women in high school. Definitely not monitored at all, and I experienced, and lots of other girls experienced, I probably more jokes than I could ever count ever in high school about my gender. So,
okay. Do you think that there should be gender quotas for college admissions and for jobs?
Yes. I think the only way we're going to get to a place where women feel that they, and young girls feel that they can go into whatever job field they want to, there has to be a place for them to go and enough offers for women to feel like they can go into that job field. There's been a lot of, on social media, there's been a lot of attention recently on girls going into STEM and how the low percentage of STEM majors in college that are girls and the amount of sexist comments and behavior they receive from other college students. And I think having the job and college quotas just ensures young girls that they are still wanted. There is still a place for them to be accepted.
Do you think that women's equality is better now than it was when your mother was growing up? Or how about her mother?
Yes and no. With this sort of rise of technology and social media, it brings along a lot of benefits and also consequences for young girls and women. It gives young girls a huge, broad platform of people and groups to find they can connect to and look up to. That, and there's so much body positivity that's spread, and acceptance, and communities are found. I think it's easier for girls to find that empowerment with social media and the internet. But also, there definitely comes the aspect of body shaming and girls who really need to compare themselves to one another and there's a lot of things within social media, definitely the influencers that are shown and put on our social, on our pages the most, there's definitely a bias into who gets the spotlight on social media. And we're still, I think there's still people trying to shift that to be a more open spotlight to include other people. In general, I think that we have it way easier than we often realize than they did. I mean, regarding gender, I don't know about as people, but regarding gender, they were treated much more unfairly for their gender than we are today. I think.
Is the acceptance and popularity of transgender helpful or a hindrance to women's equality?
I don't know if it's so much whether it helps or harms the movement. It is a part of the movement. And I don't think we don't achieve women's equality until transgender women also achieve equality. I don't think the acceptance of them hurts the movement in any way. No.
Do you think that the Trump era set back women's movement toward equality, or he just exposed the truth of the American system?
Both. I think the fact, definitely he exposed this apparently still thriving misogynistic mindset that a lot of us thought we as a society were beginning to progress beyond and go past that. He sort of, as well as exposing it, he also sort of revived it and brought power. So while he revealed that the Trumpies and their, yeah, and all that, it revealed that there are people that still have this sexist, I don't even know what to call it, crazy mindset. And at the same time, lots of people, I think, it was revived and thrived. And we've seen now, definitely, the fact that someone like him can be elected as a president today is just proof that we have so, so far to go. And so he exposed, positives and negatives, I think, to the exposure.
Okay, so you said that you'd like to be involved in government or politics. How do you see yourself? What would you like to do?
Really my passion for public policy and government comes from my passion for public education reform, right? And I want to find an outlet for either helping change the systems that currently inhibit students from succeeding, or I want to be a part of a movement or organization that is combating against those inhibiting policies. I am not quite sure. I'm going along the idea of wanting to change the system. It seems like a more permanent solution. I think there's countless more things in my fingers than I could probably count, flaws in our education system. And watching as our society has progressed over the decades and our school system has barely evolved at all, there needs to be change. And I think, I might get frustrated with the public policy government route and get frustrated with not being able to change anything and give up and devote my time to something that is just going to help students in other ways with different outside programs. But hopefully I don't quit and get frustrated.
So do you think Women's History Month is something that we should continue, expand, or what do you think about it, about Women's History Month? Does it mean anything to you?
Not really. I don't know if that's a bad thing to say, but I never really, there's no big emphasis on Women's History Month besides the way it's used in commercializing. I recognize it so much. It's seen so much in ads. That's where I mostly see Women's History Month information. I mean, on social media, there's lots of people talking about it, but it doesn't mean that much. I never remember any emphasis on Women's History Month in schools. If there was any, it was very, very little. I feel like I didn't even know that Women's History Month was a thing for a very long time. So, no, I guess it doesn't really mean much to me. I don't know if it's useless. I think it could be utilized in a really great way. But I don't think it is. Snapchat filters, I mean, that's okay, but it doesn't do that much.
What else could you say about the position of women in the society that you're now an adult in? Are there things that should be radically altered, or should we just continue to stumble toward the future?
Definitely not stumble toward the future. We should definitely radicalize our future before we stumble into it. Our position is not great. It's complicated. Right now, it's really interesting to see in this Trump era all of these women supporting really misogynistic views. What it was so funny when I first saw this, it was kind of like, oh, they're the kind of women that still have misogynistic perspectives on themselves. That's not me. Like, I don't have any internalized sexist views about myself. And then once I was watching these women promote these views, I started to address the times in which I found myself kind of stereotyping genders and sort of putting myself into a box or other people into a box. And I realized that everyone has this internalized view, and I think we really need to, I think once people start to let go of that mindset restricting themselves, I think it opens up, I think it expands the movement for dismantling the patriarchy in general.
Can you define dismantling the patriarchy?
I think when I say dismantle the patriarchy, I mean to rid our society of the things that oppress and impact people based on their gender. And I recently have been thinking about how gender itself is really just a construct. And I don't know if we're quite that far yet in our progressing, but to dismantle the patriarchy, we have to get rid of everything, get rid of all of the systems, all of the mindsets, all of the perspectives that came from all of the past centuries of oppression, consequences of all of the trauma that women went through. It was an entire revamp of our society, and that's part of why I'm so passionate about education, is I think I find myself to figure out where is the source of these negative mindsets that we can fix, and not just for gender, but in general in our society. And I find that really education can completely change our society. It completely shifts how people see the world. And to start shifting people's mindsets, we have to start in education, where they're getting the majority of their impact growing up. That's why I really think it's the core of
most issues.
I almost think that colleges have a lot more work to do than high schools do, school-wise. At least from my personal experience, I think I'm sort of a special case. When high schools are addressing regulating the behavior that goes on when they're not looking, and the things that happen right outside the classroom, or the comments that are made really quietly. And I think there's also not just a lot of behavior from high school boys teasing girls and pressuring them. There's also this girl-on-girl dynamic of feeling like they have to sort of attacking each other, and a lot of body shaming and bullying. There still is this like bullying to be cool. I mean, I feel like it's funny. I feel like I heard this like ever since I was, you know, born, like for decades. This is, you know, let's get rid of bullying. For some reason, to tease people is like just so cool. And so there's this, girls get targeted for their bodies, or what they say, and what they won't do. And it's hard for schools to address it, because it's not obvious to them, and it's not all clear. But really, I think it's about educating the ways in which women have been oppressed, and the ways in which we need to overcompensate in our society. And if it's taught at early ages, it will impact the rest of their lives. I really think like elementary schools teaching like cultural competency and like focusing even more on the ways that women have triumphed over history and in education and such, just bringing the attention to the problem and being very clear and obvious that there is a problem, and that we as humans need to do our part to help fix. There's just no real education about the problem. I mean, they say, you know, they teach you about how women earn the right to vote in the suffragette movement, and like that's mostly it. There's just a lack in education, 100%.
That was Karuna speaking from her house in the mountains of Mendocino County. You are listening to Youth Speaks Out, a not currently monthly show that I, Dan Roberts, produce with Laytonville High School students. All our efforts are freely available at our website, youthspeaksout.net. Now we will hear Natalia, also speaking from the mountains of Mendocino County. I'm speaking with Natalia Teneo, who's a graduate of Laytonville High School, has been on Youth Speaks Out many times. And I asked her and two of her fellow graduates from Laytonville High School to talk about women, since it's Women's History Month. What do you think of Women's History Month? Is that a significant event, a period, or what do you think of it?
I think it's pretty banger. I think all of the like commemorative months are there for a pretty good reason. I think that I think it's pretty useful. I wouldn't say that I necessarily am super conscious the entire month of it being Women's History Month, just because I just have a hard time doing that with any of the months, like Black History Month, other history months, just because it's a whole month, you know. Like sometimes you just space it out. To be conscious of like an entire group for an entire month isn't something that I guess all people do. But I think it's good. Yeah, there's definitely nothing wrong with it.
What do you think the purpose of it is?
I would say mostly probably more just like keeping awareness and making sure that like there's recognition where there might not always be. I think that like, you know, in comparison to like if we're talking about like if we're separating people on like sexuality or like race or all of those other issues, like everyone needs their own separate recognition. But I think the purpose is just to like make sure women understand that like they're appreciated, and it's not like the same as it's always been. I think that like the addition of like all these other recognition whole months is to make sure that people are aware that, like, it's not the exact same, and, like, people are, you know, appreciating you and being aware and, like, spending a large chunk of time, like, just thinking about, like, the input that women have made in history. I think that's pretty legit.
Do you have experiences of being treated unequally, inequally, unequally for being a woman?
I mean, yeah. I think that most women probably do. I think that's just, like, part of what it is. I think that I've never had any extreme moment where, like, a huge opportunity has been lost for me because I'm a woman. Largely just because I don't think I've, I don't know, maybe I will one day, but I haven't really had any experiences like that. But I think a lot of it is just an assumption of me being incompetent because of my gender, or just assumption on, like, any skills I have just based off of that. I definitely, honestly, I've had relatively good moments. I would say the only time I've really gotten the most frustrated throughout being a woman is through sports. And I'm not even that athletic of a person, just because that's how it always is, I think. I think a lot of it is just the fact that, like, as a woman, it's most of the time people are going to take in my physical appearance before they take in anything else. And I just feel like I'm always having to counteract that instead of just presenting myself as whatever's going on inside.
So how do you counteract that? The uncomfortableness of, you know, somebody meeting you and then they're checking out your body. How do you deal with that? Or are you able to just kind of let it shine?
I think to some level, like, you just have to ignore it, because if you're too aware of it, then that makes it the center of attention, and then you're kind of doing what you didn't want to do in the first place, which was, like, talk about the fact that your body exists. But at the same time, like, I think that if people say weird things or if they're staring at me, like, I'm not the kind of person to, like, just not say anything about it, to be super shy, just because I think that they're need to be other women that aren't like that in order to even out the group, you know? I don't think every woman has to go out and be super extra if someone's staring at them or doing things, but I think that's something that I try to do on occasion. But at the same time, like, I think that I'm intelligent, and then beyond that, I don't feel like I really need to prove anything to anyone that I don't have an agenda with, if that makes any sense. So if people feel the need to stare, then that's their problem. But at the same time, if I feel like it's causing a real barrier, then I just have to, I guess, step up my intelligence game. I really don't like the idea of having to dress super, super modestly in order for someone to pay attention to me. But I think that that's definitely, or at least, like, academic attention. But I do think that that's certainly, it's certainly there. Like, it makes a difference. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, throughout, like, college and stuff, I haven't really seen where that line is. I haven't really been in a social situation in that way. So it's, I think it's something I just still need to keep learning about.
So your high school experience, you, Eve, and Karuna were almost the most dominant people at the school, wouldn't you say?
Dominant? What, in what ways?
You were the leaders.
What do you mean that?
You were kind of the lead. I don't know. You certainly weren't secondary to, to, you know, the athletic guys or anything like that. You were, you really held ground.
For sure. I see what you mean.
And so, but I don't know that the whole world is like that. I think that Laytonville High School is much more conscious of inequality toward women and has made lots of moves to overcome that from our general society. But I mean, don't you think that there's still a huge amount of, in the actual America, that there's a lot of inequality for women? Or does that not seem that way to you?
Oh, for sure, dude.
Like what?
Yeah. No doubt. I think that, like, I mean, just in terms of, like, I think it varies. Like, just giving, like, a whole blanket statement of women is very difficult, because it's, like, there's so many different kinds of women, and every woman of a different race is having a completely different experience in society, like, regardless. I think that on some level, like, women are way farther off, especially white women are way farther off than they used to be, no doubt. Like, we have a lot more rights. Stuff's going down. But at the same time, like, in terms of, like, what we can still do politically, how we're viewed in places of power, like, our decisions in terms of, like, still not being able to be a full-time, like, having motherhood while also having these other things. The viewpoint of, like, being a mother not being as strong or as powerful or as professional as a job as, like, any other job, even though it's even more work. Just all of these other things. I think that, like, anything that's viewed as feminine is still viewed as weaker. That's not, that hasn't changed. I think that it's just an option now, and it's not as judged as much. But at the same time, I think that things are still, they still need some help. I think that, like, little teenage boys are still little shits. I think that, like, it's just, like, stuff just has to, I think time just has to keep going. I think that more conversations just need to happen. But I do think that it's better.
Okay. So it's, does it seem like, from your understanding of history, that it's better now than it was, like, when your mother was your age or her mother?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like, especially just considering myself, like, as a person of color, like, thinking about, like, my grandparents and things like that. Like, the options that I have are nowhere near those options. Like, crazy. Like, my mom, she had some options for sure, no doubt. But, like, the choices that she took were different and not the same as the ones that I have. And so it ended up here, and now these are my choices. And her grandmother had nowhere near the same choices that she had. And then on my dad's side, the same difference. And I think that, like, at least personally, I think that me and my sister's generation is one of the, is kind of the first where we have a really good wide range of the same choices that everyone else has. And we have all these opportunities and the amount of wealth to be able to do that, and the amount of freedom from our parents and from our families to be able to do all the other things. If that makes any sense. I don't think that necessarily any other time in my family's history it's been as acceptable or as accessible or as easy, which is really interesting. But, like, yeah, I'm one of the first kids. I think I'm the first, at least from high school, to go to college or probably graduate. But it's just interesting. It's just, it's cool. I definitely think there are more options.
Do you think that there should be gender quotas for hiring jobs and going to college?
I think that the creation of gender quotas was for really, really, like, messed up institutions that don't include anyone, for them to have some people. I think that, like, in order to ensure that it's not super unequal, I don't see the beef with gender quotas or any quotas, like racial quotas and those issues, as long as you're making sure that you're including the people that are up to the same par as the white people that you're including or higher, because they do exist. It's not like you're just including people that are, like, less intelligent. But I do think that on some level, like, just filling in one gender to fill in one gender can be harmful. But at the same time, if it's, like, an institution that's really popular or some high up job, whatever, I think it's a pretty good interest to ensure that there's equal opportunities for both. But at the same time, like, if, you know, I think it's all, like, based on it, like, you know, very specific instance to instance. If it was, like, two people and one of them, the man obviously has way more credentials than the woman, and the woman just has, you know, the capabilities to fill in a gender quota, I don't think that necessarily you should just employ the woman for being a woman. But at the same time, I don't think that that's really how most gender quotas go down.
Do you think that the Trump era set back women's rights and equality, or just exposed the truth of where America is at?
Very interesting. I need to do a little more research, but just in terms of, like, vibes, I think a lot of it is, like, very much like a social energy around, like, what's acceptable towards women more than, like, any systemic issue. I feel like he's really, really changed, or did change. I think that, like, he just made a lot of things way more acceptable than they were, even though they already existed. They already were acceptable in the past, but he's just, like, the president, and he's doing it. So the things that he says about women is way more acceptable than, like, the things some, like, 30-year-old TV show person says about women. I just feel like, I think the largest change is just in the fact that men who saw him as president saw the things that he was doing, the things that he was saying, and didn't And just because he was put in the place as president didn't think about it any differently. I think also just, you know, he doesn't, he disregards women a lot. I think that, you know, in general, if we had a different president, we probably would be a little bit farther off. But at the same time, I don't think he really did that much aside from, like, in a more, like, imagery, like, political sense, make women feel below.
Okay, you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to. Is the transgender movement helping or setting back the striving for women's equality? Do you have any feelings about that?
I would say I wouldn't see any ways in which I've heard a lot of arguments for why feminists argue that trans women in particular put back feminism for some reason, but I wouldn't really agree with that. I find no real basis of argument just because, like, in my mind, if a trans woman is transitioning into a woman, then therefore she is a woman and we've just, like, largened our ranks, you know? Like, I don't really see any beef. I think that a large issue is just with the fact that, like, well, because trans women in particular are born, you know, as men, they don't have the necessarily the same upbringing that, you know, cis women have of, like, being a female child and, like, growing up in society like that. And then, you know, trans women have, like, the conscious choice of, like, wanting to be a woman. And therefore, I think a lot of women are a little bit salty with that just because, like, there's some amounts of pain that trans women don't necessarily have to go through because of the choice that they get to be a woman. But at the same rate, there's so many things that trans women have to go through that I think make them completely deserving of the title of womanhood at that same way. And I think that, you know, the more rights, the better, in my opinion. I don't, like, I think that some people are worried that, like, it's taking the attention away from, like, issues in politics or whatever, but no, I can't really say that I do. I think that all the trans women feminists that I've met have all been amazing and have all been the perfect state of mind for what I think that everyone should really be in for, like, you know, going for change and whatnot. Yeah, I remember hearing about J.K. Rowling was one woman that I heard had a really big issue with trans women being in the feminist movement because she didn't really view them as women or all of these things. But I think that more than anything, it's just, like, people being scared of change and difference and also of, like, not being in, you know, any center of attention on some way. But at the same time, like, I don't think that it should be, like, a pain contest for, like, who goes through more issues, like trans women or cis women. I think that we should all just be supportive for the fact that we're under the blanket of womanhood, you know? But no, I don't think it makes a huge difference. If anything, it's just, I think it's just more helpful to have people both fighting for the same thing, even though you're different, you know, you're different people. But I think still, like, womanhood, being a woman is a very broad term.
I've heard a person say, a woman say, that it's wrong to raise children telling them that they are one gender or another, and that it would be an evolutionary step.
I've heard that argument as well.
What do you think about it?
I mean, in terms of, like, evolution, biology, like, we're past that, you know? Like, we can't act like we have any connection to, like, any evolutionary humanistic type thing. Like, I feel like we're pretty beyond, like, any of those connections. I think that, like, honestly, live your truth. I don't think that necessarily, like, giving your children the, like, pronouns that they're given at birth until they say otherwise is a bad thing. But I also haven't really seen any issue for people that call their kids, like, neutral pronouns, like they, them, until they decide that they want one. But at the same time, like, I think it's more of, like, a political act than anything else, because we really don't have any proof on whether or not that works. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, like, the first round of people being like, screw boys and girls, like, we do what we want, which is, like, chill, but, like, we have no idea. It could do nothing. It could really make no effect, or it could do something really weird to these kids as they grow up. But either way, I think it's chill. I think the kids have enough, like, mental ability to figure it out. I think personally, I'm just going to call my kids what they are when they're born. And then if they, you know, want to change it, that's good for them. And I'll listen to them. But at the same time, like, it is a decision that I'm making for them, but it's not a finite decision. You know, I think that almost like making the harsh decision to make sure everyone goes, make sure everyone does they, them for them seems almost like more strict work than just calling them the gender that they were at birth until they decide not to. But to each his own, you know? To each his own. As long as it's not harming anyone else or yourself, then do it. But I don't think I personally have much energy to do something like that. I don't really necessarily think it does anything in terms of evolution, because, like, evolution, we are very aware of our roles as female and male, and it wasn't really much. I don't know, like, it varies from every place. I think it's so funny how human beings try to, like, connect stuff to, like, you know, past historical OG human beings. Like, we have any idea what they were up to, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of that history's gone. And it's really interesting to think about, but I think a lot of things were simpler back then than they were now. And trying to connect them to now seems really difficult more times than not.
Good. Good answers. Good ideas.
Thank you.
And I'm not just saying that because I agree with you, but you delivered it well too. But I do agree with you also. Can you name three women who've inspired you? Is that too corny a question?
I was thinking about this question for so long, and I don't know why it was so difficult for me to figure out three. I mean, like, of course, like, AOC. I will never not think that she's really cool. I think just, like, as a woman of color and politics doing stuff, like, as a congresswoman, or I guess she's, like, on the green stuff now. But either way, like, as a person in power, I really have looked up to her. Also, just as a person that looks like me, too. I think it's been difficult, like, as a kid, in, like, the areas of profession that I've wanted to go in, I've not really seen anyone that looks like me, which is fine. But it's, like, I think a lot of my life has been recognizing that, like, I'm going to have to be a role model for kids like me instead of me looking up to someone else, which is chill. It's not, no pressure. But, yeah, I think beyond that, like, it was really difficult for me to find other people. I think partially maybe just I'm just not that in tune with, like, people. I don't know. I was going to say my mom just because I love my mom. But other than that, I think that honestly most women that have to go into high places of political power, like, freaking kudos to you. I think that's one of the hardest things. Just because of how much more under scrutiny women are in places of politics, and why I personally would have a really hard time being in politics, and why I see, like, women in politics, honestly, on either side, Republican or whatever, it doesn't even matter in my mind at this point, like, just having to deal with, you know, men, the whole system of politics as a woman, honestly, kudos, dude, kudos, because it just really isn't built for us, it really isn't, and to, like, do it and then do it well and succeed is something that I find a lot of cool stuff in. I think it's really interesting. But no, I can't really think of any specific names at the moment. I'm sorry.
Okay. So what about your mother inspires you, has inspired you?
Just in terms of, like, getting stuff done, you know, like, whenever in my life we've had any issues or stuff has been, like, rough or whatever, like, it's always just been, like, you get her done. Like, I think that, like, most of what I've learned from my mom is just the fact that, like, no matter how rough stuff is, like, I can figure it out, you know, I can do my stuff. She's very smart, physically also very strong. Like, I think another thing that my mom showed me is, like, I really don't need a man to, like, lift boxes for me or, like, do anything like that. Like, I think that a lot of what I've learned from women in my life is just the fact that, like, I can be self-sufficient, you know. I think a lot of women don't get that, honestly, as they grow up. They really do think that they need someone else, even if it's not a man, just the fact that they don't think that they can get stuff done themselves. And I think that that was one lesson that I learned pretty early on that I'm very thankful for from the woman in my life, especially my mother, just, like, the fact that, like, I can get my own stuff done. And it doesn't have to be, like, me. I don't have to get all of this help from other people. And at the same time, like, no one to ask for help. But I think that she made me a very strong woman in particular, not just a person, you know. I think those are two very different things.
Good, good. When you were in high school, did you feel like the school supported women's equality?
I mean, no. 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 I mean, it's not like they actively went against it, but I wouldn't say that they really cared that much. I mean, just thinking about, like, how many female teachers did we have in the high school?
I don't know.
One?
Is that true?
Yeah, we had the English teacher. We had Ms. Lehman. We had Tammy. And then in my senior year, the science teacher turned into a woman. But I mean, beyond that, like the math teacher, the science teacher, which all the other classes, aside from English and computer science, which is a useless class, were taught by women, which is like, chill, Bill. But like, you know, those were our female role models. And, you know, people had their issues with Ms. Lehman and Tammy. I want to say that in case, you know, they hear this. And then I just remember having so many issues with like the dress code and having arguments with teachers where they were just so close-minded to the point where it was like, they still have the mind of like a 16-year-old boy sometimes, you know, like I remember having conversations with Mr. Walczak and it would be like, I would get dress coded a lot in high school. I remember because I don't have small boobs and my body is not necessarily petite. So like I have what I have and it's hard to cover up if I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? Like I can wear a jacket, but that's about it. So I'd get dress coded a lot more than like other women who were like skinnier or like just smaller and didn't more like fabric just to cover it up. But I remember having a conversation and he was just like, it's just like that argument where it's like, if you don't cover up, well then men can't help themselves. You know, like that ideology, like you're like a piece of meat and they're like rabid, you know, starving wolves. And it just takes you so aback to imagine like your teacher thinking about you like that. You know, and it's just messed up, like, to think about, like, all those other instances. And I think that, like, I've had some, you know, really great conversations with, like, Mr. Potter. And, like, I don't think that they're all, like, weird, like, misogynistic pigs or anything. But I do think that, like, on some level, you know, they don't know what it's like to be a woman, much less a teenage woman in this time. So, you know, there's definitely some disconnect there. And, like, Mr. Henry, like, he tries. He has daughters, but, like, he doesn't know, you know? Like, I think on some level, like, it's an openness to understanding what it's like in order for you to really understand any of the issues of being a woman. And I think that some people just either like haven't really wanted to think about it or like put themselves in the shoes or just like don't really want to, which is also good for them. I mean, I probably had more arguments on the basis of like feminist ideology instead of like me being uplisted on the basis of feminist ideology in the school. But I mean, that's just on like how educated they are too. I think that's on most.
Good. Yeah, it is interesting that I'm surprised that I hadn't recognized how few female teachers there were at Laytonville High School. A few years earlier, there was more.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, there's a very clear, like, it's weird, it's a disconnect. Like, the higher up school in Laytonville, there's more men. And then when you look into, like, the elementary and middle school, like, the lower classes, it's mostly women. Because, like, female younger school teachers are what's common. And I don't, like, there's a few male teachers for sure. But I remember being younger, like, mostly having female teachers. But then as soon as I got older, like, it was mostly male teachers. I think that's just a disconnect on like where women can think that they can be in professional areas, even in high school, which doesn't make tons of sense. But yeah, I just remember, I mean, Miss McHenry was around, but Miss McHenry is so old. She's probably less feminist than, you know, Mr. Henry is in ideology. Like she was saying the same stuff to me when I got dress coded and didn't matter. Like, I think that, yeah, on another extent, like all of the women that we have in high school are also, you know, pretty old and all of them are white. And so it's like, you know, you're not going to connect to a lot of the same women in the high school. Certainly wouldn't say I had any girl time with any of the female teachers. I cannot say. It would have been nice. And I think also female teachers got, no matter what those female teachers look like, they got so sexualized by the students. It was crazy. I think maybe that's another fear of just being a high school teacher as a woman. Just the fact that, like, all of the boys, literally, you could look like a pillow and they'll still try to find a way to sexualize you because they're bored and they have nothing better to do.
Yeah. And they're being programmed to think that way, too. I mean,
exactly.
It isn't just their, it isn't just their personal hormone level. It's our society, our media sexualizes everything. So, I mean, it isn't. It's ambient, kind of.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Natalia.
For sure.
And the thing about politics, and, you know, you wouldn't want to be in it. Somehow, I have a feeling you're going to be in it, but that's just my feeling. So, there you go. All right.
We'll see.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Thanks for the chat.
Yep.
That's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Label Healthy Start Coalition's Drug Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's You Speaks Out. Our Environmental Prevention Strategies in the Community, also known as EPIC, is a project founded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community.
If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email jama@laytonville.org.
You Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached at mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming and downloadable audio.
Views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of the radio station. They are the views of those who express them. You Speaks Out is free to be rebroadcasted upon notification. Our shows are posted monthly on our website, youspeaksout.net. And you can find our podcast link there or on iTunes. Thanks for listening.